I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later this hour, a conversation with Grace Kennan-Warnicki. Her new memoir is Daughter of the Cold War. But first, we look back at one of the most influential people in children's television, Fred Rogers. He hosted Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for more than 30 years, a program where kindness, love, empathy, and wonder were center. Won't You Be My Neighbor is a new documentary about Fred Rogers. It opened in theaters earlier this month and will be screened at Cape Cinema in Dennis. Joining us to discuss the legacy of Fred Rogers and his relevance today is Deb Wilsey, founder and president of the Cape Cod Toy Library.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And Marcia Piappi-Galazzi is executive director emeritus of the Family Schools. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so we're going to start with a trailer from Won't You Be My Neighbor.
A television program for children made its unauspicious debut on station WQED in Pittsburgh. Its host, Fred Rogers.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
What would you like to tell
me? I like you.
I like you, my dear. Thank you very much for telling me that.
You take all of the elements that make good television and do the exact opposite. You have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Low production values, simple set, unlikely star, yet it worked.
Hello.
I've always felt that I didn't need to put on a funny hat or jump through the hoop to have a relationship with a child.
He was always trying to get a message across in every show.
A week on death.
What does assassination mean?
On divorce.
Some people get married and after a while they're so unhappy that they don't want to be married anymore.
He was radical. I know everyone says that, but he was radical.
They didn't want black people to come and swim in their swimming pools. My being on the program was a statement for Fred.
A neighborhood was a place where at times that you felt worried, scared, unsafe, would take care of you.
He had a singular vision of kindness and love.
Love is at the root of everything. All learning, all relationships, love or the lack of it.
Children have very deep feelings, just the way everybody does. There must be times when you do feel blue. I'm not feeling blue right now, though.
Me neither.
Won't you be my neighbor? Well, I suppose it's an invitation. It's an invitation for somebody to be close to you. The greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they're loved and capable of loving.
Won't you please, won't you please, please won't you be my neighbor?
All right. Most people over the age of 25 not only know who Fred Rogers is, they can elaborate on how he made an impact on them as children. So why do you think he had such mass appeal?
Oh, boy. I think one of the most critical things is his pace of language. In my household, a six-year-old boy was dying to watch Speed Racer, and the very fast pace, loud, bangy stuff that would come into focus in later decades. But Mr. Rogers was my true love because he took time to build relationships.
It was that eye-to-eye contact, even through the screen, that he felt, you felt that he was speaking directly to you. I also have a son. I have four children, but my son was particularly focused on him because he felt he was speaking to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way each person with Fred Rogers felt in person, but it came across in the screen.
Yeah, he was sincere. And he was just a natural on camera. He wasn't, as he was saying, didn't wear a hat. He wasn't playing a character or acting outlandishly. Pacing was slow. It allowed for contemplation. What value do you think these techniques have for a younger audience?
I think it's about permission. And as executive director of a program that covers infant, toddler, preschool, and all the way up through teenage years in the summertime, we're very aware of how we speak to children. And to say to an infant, I understand you're angry right now because your bottle isn't ready. And it's really frustrating to you. But we're going to walk here and we're going to rock and pretty soon this will be over. That kind of language that recognizes that young children have very powerful feelings, and permission to name those feelings really was new on the national screen. Mm-hmm. There were gifted educators that were doing it, but Fred Rogers made it a universal outreach. Yeah.
So I would add to that in saying that it was the respect that he had for each individual child and adults in terms of, I would call it, emotionally responsive language. So it was a listening as well as being directly related to what the child's saying and then responding to that in kind, yeah, respectfully.
Yeah, he had this ability to make a child feel heard and included. And maybe talk a little about what that does to the social emotional development of a child, because I think a lot of kids feel like you're not hearing me. And it's kind of this, and we think, especially for young children, that they don't have maybe they know a lot more, I should say, than we think they do. And they're maybe frustrated they can't explain that. So talk about being heard and feeling included, what that does.
Well, an example that I can think of right off the bat is sometimes children really yell when a parent is leaving them at school. And when I can say to that child, your parent is not doing what you want right now. I know that your parent is somebody you love and you would like them to spend the day with you at school. And that just can't happen right now. But here's what can happen. Let's go get the clay out. So when a child has permission to feel that way and to feel like they'd like to be in charge and they're not in charge, so okay, let's go with the flow, is real different from just ignoring how they feel.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood didn't shy away from some of the bigger societal issues, as we heard, divorce, death, war, civil rights. Talk about why it's important to present these topics to preschool-age children and what we can learn from his technique.
We are just on the cutting edge of understanding trauma in the lives of children. And trauma is really what the beholder says it is. So if my parents divorcing is a trauma for me and yours is not for you, that doesn't lessen the trauma. Mm-hmm. What heals trauma, the scar tissue caused by over-responsive negative stuff, is good play. It connects people. It connects the dendrites in the brain. It gives an opportunity for children and adults together to extend thinking and feeling. So if they're sitting at a table in front of a hunk of Play-Doh and the child picks it up and says, I want a bowl out of this, and the teacher or the parent says, how are we going to get a bowl out of this? Do you know? Do you have an idea of how we could do that? And suddenly they're off and running, and who's going to eat what from the bowl, and so on. So that extended kind of learning is such a gift when it can come from a family or from an education setting. But to have a children's resource library, mm-hmm, that does nothing other than that to make play available and to extend the play is just phenomenal.
All right, Deb, let's talk about that, because a lot of people have heard Cape Cod Toy Library. What is that?
So the basics are, it's in the making, by the way, and so we are working towards creating this Family Play Learning Center, which is really a resource center, which includes a lending library of hundreds of toys and educational materials for families to use on site or to borrow and take out into the community, to their homes or to a child care provider setting or to a recreation setting. The Family Play Learning Center will be free and open to the entire community. And this, again, will be staffed by early childhood experts who can support and facilitate and answer questions and guide the play in that environment. Mm.
That's one of the things I think people, parents or grandparents, maybe parents struggle with a little bit more because they haven't been through it yet. Sometimes kids come up with a question and you think, oh my gosh, how am I going to answer? Like in that clip we heard, and the kid said, what does assassination mean? And that happened after President Kennedy was shot. And that was, and I think the response was, well, you've been hearing that word a lot lately. And it's like, that's a thing that as an adult, you're going, oh my gosh, where do I even begin? How do I describe? So sometimes having that expertise to help you answer some of those difficult questions can
yes,
be
and
really
also
handy.
Having it be open and available and accessible on evenings and weekends as well as weekdays also makes it accessible to the entire community as things come up over any given time.
and making it a resource for the community. So when the child comes up with the very simple questions like, why is the sky blue?
Yeah.
Why isn't it pink or orange? It's nice to have a resource in the community. Let's go find out. Let's go to the resource library and see what we can figure out.
And as someone else said, you know, the difference about the toy library, Cape Cod Toy Library concept versus being on the screen is that it's live. Mm-hmm. And so it allows for this platform of real experiences and relationships every day.
Yeah. Now, we know children as young as 1 and 2 are already using smart devices, giving them on-demand access and feedback. So do you think Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood would appeal to today's preschool?
Yes, because I think it's timeless.
Yeah. And maybe the difference of, I mean, that screen experience is not the same as you're mentioning, Deb, a live experience. It's a completely different thing that's going on in your brain.
Yes. And we are finding out that brain differences do exist from the very beginning when children are exposed to screen time. And it doesn't necessarily expand brain capacity. In fact, we think it reduces it. A lot of screen time reduces hearing ability because your ears get used to just the minimum sound that come from, the radio, which is constantly on in my house.
Yeah. So what can parents, caregivers, and teachers take away from Fred Rogers' approach?
Well, to hold the child in full respect, that they're feeling life may be very different from what we want it to be or what we think it might be, but permission to check in and to truly listen to children and to begin to extend their thinking.
And that's an expression of love. And we want to love our children. We have to express it in ways that are meaningful to them. And so one of those is children have a natural awe and curiosity about the world. And we need to support that. And that's part of what Fred Rogers did as well. Mm. As well as problem solving and helping children to feel they can be able to problem solve with support.
I'd like to read a quote from an article by Heather Havrileski published in the May 28th issue of New York Magazine. She says, "If anything, Rogers' simple message feels more revolutionary today than it did 50 years ago. In a culture dominated by the notion that you're in a constant race and you're always falling behind, that you always need to work harder and produce more, the space and time to be liked exactly as you are feels like a most precious gift imaginable. The tranquil rhythms of Won't You Be My Neighbor remind us of how simple the job of being a good friend, a good parent, or a good citizen can be. You offer up your heart, your patience, and your silence, and make some room for whatever your neighbor might bring." So it seems that's something all of us can take away from Fred Rogers, whether we're children or adults. So we have the screening of Won't You Be My Neighbor, the new documentary film about Fred Rogers at Cape Cinema, Wednesday, June 20th, 6 p.m. And that's followed by a panel discussion hosted by Cape Cod Toy Library. So, Deb, you want to quickly tell us about the panel discussion?
Yes. So the panel discussion will be specifically focused on child development and why social-emotional development is so important and how play helps to support social-emotional development. So it will be related, obviously, to the film and to how the Cape Cod Toy Library is a new neighbor on the Cape to help support children and families.
A new neighbor we're welcome. We're really happy to have. We'll have more information about the film and the panel discussion at our website, capeandislands.org. Deb Welsey, founder and president of the Cape Cod Toy Library. Marcia Piappi Galazzi, executive director emeritus of the Family Schools. Thank you both so much for coming in. And
thank
good luck.
Thank you so much.
Keep in touch. We want to hear more as this comes together.
Terrific. It's a delight.
All right. Coming up after break, we talk with Grace Kennan-Warnicke about her memoir, Daughter of the Cold War.